Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Dr. Suzanne Stock, board-certified specialist in orthodontics. Dr. Stock is pleased to provide braces and Invisalign for children, teens, and adults in Iowa City and across Southeast Iowa. More online at drssortho.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. According to Nielsen, a media research company, 50% of U.S. households are fans of at least one podcast. So that's more than 60 million homes across the country. We decided that since podcasts are such a major force, that we would find Iowans who are producing their own podcasts. And this hour, I'll talk with the producers behind a number of different podcasts. We also want to hear from you. Do you have a favorite Iowa produced podcast? Tell us about it. You can give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This hour, we're going to talk about On Farm, Conversations with Practical Farmers, the Short Coat Podcast, Que Pasa Iowa, Political Party Live, and we're going to start the hour with Med Room Chronicles, Nursing Uncensored. Adrienne Benning is producer and host and a nurse, and she is here with me now. Hello, Adrienne.
Good morning, Charity. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. And tell me how this got started. Where did the idea come from?
As a nursing student, I listened to lots of podcasts. I have a podcast for pretty much everything I could think of. And there are a number of really great nursing podcasts. But I wanted something that got a little bit more away from the technical aspect of things and focused more on the behind the scenes, living life as a nurse, dealing with the stresses, social media, interactions between other professionals, having those days where you don't know if you've made the right choice in your profession. So I had all of these things that I wondered about. And so now that I'm a nurse, I'm trying to turn the questions that I had in nursing school into these episodes for new nurses, students, even tenured nurses that maybe just want to hear some other sides of things, other opinions and different viewpoints.
So this was something that you found was lacking. You couldn't find what you were looking for anywhere.
Right. And there are a lot of great nurse podcasters that kind of touch on these things a little bit here and there. But I wanted something that really kind of dug in, was really raw and really true to what I've been experiencing and what my coworkers are experiencing as well. And so I've talked to a number of different people on the podcast. Other are registered nurses, nurse practitioners. Actually, the nurse practitioner episode is yet to be released. But I've talked to nurse authors and travelers, pretty much anyone that I can get to sit still and talk to me for a little while, because I think everyone, even with very different trajectories of their career, have these great stories to share. And I think there's a lot to be said about education through storytelling, sharing of experiences, and kind of having that like kind of collective nurse knowledge that really is part of the profession. I think that so much of what we learn in school, you know, we learn it fast and we learn it quick and then we move on. So when you get out into the real world of nursing, you have to kind of rely on each other to reinforce those skills, learn new things, and just continue to develop and find the path that you want to go on your career.
So. Well, and I can imagine, and this comes through on the podcast, that, I mean, nursing is such an important job, but nurses deal with so many things that the rest of us don't ever have to deal with.
Yes.
And probably can't relate to very well. So is it therapeutic in a sense to connect with other nurses in
absolutely,
this way?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one of the episodes we talk about I'm a night shift nurse and I've worked night shift for, 13, 14 years now as a nursing assistant and then a nurse. And one of the things that's really important to night shifters, and this is pretty universal, I've talked to nurses across the country that say that breakfast that you get with your coworkers at the end of your shift is cathartic. It's a great transition between leaving that stressful environment, whether it be a clinic, the hospital, legal nurse, whatever it happens to be. There's about a million different kinds of nurses. But we all need that ability to kind of vent. And because people maybe don't understand or don't want to hear about some of the things that we talk about, either because they're tough or they're gross or they're just strange. So we have this kind of communal experience. We have breakfast. We get it out of our systems without violating privacy laws, because that's very important to remember as well. And then we go home to our families, and we've kind of released that pressure spout on the pressure cooker before we actually get back to the people that we love and don't want to release all of this
to. Right.
So there's a lot to be said about coming together with other people who do understand.
So you've created a space where people can do that virtually. I have to ask, as a busy professional woman, in thinking about starting your own podcast, now you've been working on this for quite a while and you've done 32 episodes so far.
Mm-hmm.
If you could talk to Adrian when you first started now, from what you've learned, what would you tell her about the process of making a podcast? I mean, this is not simple.
Oh my gosh. So no, it's not. And you know, I'm tech savvy, but I wouldn't call myself what's the word I'm looking for? I'm not a tech nerd fully and appropriately. So really everything I've done, from building my website, learning how to use recording software, figuring out what equipment I'm going to use, it's all been through listening to other podcasters and what they use, YouTube search, Google searches. I mean, really, I've put this all together from just whatever I can find on the internet. So if I had to go back and talk to myself back in August, I would say this is going to be a slow process. There are going to be some kinks, and then you're going to fix them, and then there's going to be a new kink in the fix. And it's kind of like nursing itself. You're constantly having to adapt to make it work.
You've put out, like I said, 32 episodes. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Why so many?
So some of those episodes are very short. Some are maybe 7 to 10 minutes. And those usually are the ones that I'm just solo. And those I like kind of fast flashes of information. 5 tips for walking into a really busy shift. 5 tips for getting better sleep during the day. Those sorts of things. And then some of the longer episodes are the interviews that I've done with people that I think have really either interesting stories, interesting outlooks, or just people that I find really enjoyable, and they happen to be really good nurses. And there's actually one of my co-hosts, Andrew Craig. He is a traveling nurse, and he and his wife have been, they're both nurses, and they've been kind of traveling around the country working different contracts at different hospitals. And so even though he's one person, he has had experiences in like 4 different states. And so
that really brings a wealth of knowledge.
Yeah, it's great. And also, you know, we just have a good rapport because we worked together for so long. And so it's fun. So the podcast is listed as explicit, mainly because we're very kind of casual. And, you know, sometimes an appropriately placed curse word can really be cathartic. Like that cacophonous sound that you release really is a stress reliever. So that's why, you know, that, as well as the fact that we're talking about medical things that maybe are not suitable for, you know, listening to in public.
Well, and you, the episode that I listened to, I've just sampled an episode of each one of the podcasts this hour. You and Andrew are talking about pet peeves that you have. And I mean, you make a lot of disclaimers about how much you do really love your work, mm-hmm. and how much you care about your patients. But you're also releasing a lot of that pressure. And you dig into some things that, you know, that like your main pet peeve is about pulmonary patients, lung patients, who do not follow your advice, mm-hmm. and will not wear their CPAP machines while they sleep, which is something it certainly takes me into a world that I really never thought about, never imagined. But tell me a little bit about some of the feedback you get from other nurses about some of the things you share.
So it's actually kind of funny. So yes, that is my pet peeve. And it's not because it's just something that bugs me. It's because I really want to help people be better. And when they're working against the things that we're trying to do, it's such a frustration. But to answer your question, I've even had coworkers come up to me during my shift or after my shift, or they text me and they say, oh my gosh, I was listening to that episode and that was so funny because I was just complaining about that the other day. So I think there is a lot that nurses relate to. And I hope to, as the podcast moves forward and I do more episodes, I want to kind of expand. Mostly I've been talking talking to bedside nurses. I really want to kind of branch out and talk to nurses in other kind of fields and like different types of work so that I can continue to help with that advocacy and that storytelling and that community that nurses, I think, really need. But mostly I think people are like, yep, I've been there.
Do you know how many listeners you have?
So it's, again, I'm learning how to look at my analytics. And so it's kind of piecemeal, but I've had several thousand downloads. Once those are downloaded, I don't know if they're actually being listened to or not. But consistently every day, I look at stats every day like it's Christmas. I'm waiting for that next number jump. But yeah, people actually are consistently listening. And that's the thing that's most promising to me. It's always exciting when I have like a spike the day I've released an episode. But what I really like is seeing that every day people are coming and downloading new episodes. I haven't gotten a lot of feedback from the public at large. So I hope the downloads mean that people like what we're doing and want to hear more. But I'm always open for feedback. I haven't had my first troll yet, so that's the only thing that really worries me. Otherwise, I want to hear more. I want this to be something that the community that I'm speaking to can use as a resource, as well as something that's just kind of fun to listen to.
Is this something that you have shared with your boss? Is this something that people at work know about?
So people at work do know about it. I have not directly talked to my bosses about this. However, I am very confident that I govern myself in a way that I would not be ashamed for my boss to listen to this. Even though we talk about a lot of things like things that bug us and things we wish were different, the driving message is that we love what we do. And, you know, we're not, like I said, we're not violating any privacy laws. If I do tell a story, it's usually an amalgamation of stories from a number of different patients to get a point across.
Right. You said if you think you're talking about you, we're not. So has there been a moment since you started this process where you've thought, yeah, this is all worthwhile?
It comes and it goes. And it's just because, you know, I'm a really self-critical person. I'm kind of type A, and not in my personal life, but in my professional life and my student life, I like things to be well done and put together really well. So I get very self-conscious every time I release an episode. But then when I start to see the downloads and I hear the feedback, then I realize, okay, the social anxiety, the nervousness of what people are going to think about this content, it's worth it, because if one person can get something out of it, then I've done my job. And that sounds really cliche, but it's true. Because if I had been listening to a podcast like this when I was a nursing student, I feel like it would have been a good source of information, but also a way to release a lot of that stress that I was feeling.
Well, Adrienne Benning, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you very much for having me.
We've been talking about Med Room Chronicles, Nursing Uncensored. Adrienne Benning is producer, host, also a night shift nurse. And we're going to talk about other Iowa-based podcasts in a few minutes. We'd love to hear about your favorites. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Dr. Suzanne Stock, board-certified specialist in orthodontics. Dr. Stock is pleased to provide braces and Invisalign for children, teens, and adults in Iowa City and across Southeast Iowa. More online at drssortho.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we are talking about a number of different podcasts that are produced in Iowa. We'd love to hear about your favorites. You can give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. We'll talk about the Short Coat podcast, K-PASA Iowa and Political Party Live. Next up, though, On Farm, Conversations with Practical Farmers. It is produced by Practical Farmers of Iowa, and Sally Worley is here. She's Executive Director of Practical Farmers of Iowa. Hi, Sally.
Hi, Charity. Thanks for having me on today.
Well, thank you so much for being here today, and tell me about the origin of On Farm. How did this idea come about?
Well, we're continually trying to reach more of our members as well as other farmers in Iowa. And so we're trying new venues as they come out, new mediums. And the podcast works really well with farmers because they can throw in some earbuds and listen as they are working. So we launched this last spring.
And give me an idea of what you focus on. I listened to an episode with a mushroom farmer about growing mushrooms, which is a pretty niche product. But give me a kind of an overview about what different episodes are about.
Sure. Well, last year, we simply took our host for our field days and interviewed them prior. So really, it was a huge diversity of topics, from mushrooms like you're talking about to why you grow cover crops, why you're pasture raising beef, how to transition to organic. So it was just a huge variety of topics, really in depth, and really in context from that farmer's point of view, talking a lot of detail about why they're doing what they're doing, but also how.
And tell me about how it's produced. You're, of course, executive director of Practical Farmers of Iowa. You're not also making a podcast.
No, I'm actually taking the spot of our communications director, Nick Odie, because he's gallivanting across Peru right now. but Nick produces this. He did it last year, and we worked with our local station, KHOI, and used their studio to produce these podcasts.
A community radio station in Ames.
Yep, the community radio station in Ames, and they were just really wonderful to work with. But he would always pick a farmer to interview. They would either come into the studio or they would conduct the interview over the telephone.
Right now in Iowa, we are seeing an interesting explosion of people growing different things. There's been a lot more diversity of crops. Is that something you're trying to capture right now?
Absolutely, and we are trying to continue to diversify Iowa. It's good for our markets, it's good for our rural communities, and it's good for the land as well. So we love to see that diversity, and these podcasts and the work we do is all about how we can transfer knowledge from farmers who are doing some innovative things to others so that they can, you know, go on their own way as well.
Do you have an idea how many people are listening?
Well, like I said, I'm subbing in for Nick, so I'm not as useful as he would be on this. But at the end of last year, we had produced 17 podcasts that had been downloaded about 8,000 times.
And
so I'm hoping quite a few more since then, especially now that we're in planting season.
And so there should be a lot of time out there on the tractor where you can put the earbuds in and really get some good listening time. And do you know what kind of listener feedback you've been able to get?
You know, we've gotten really positive feedback since this was our first foray last year. We weren't sure, how it would go. And they're just straight up interviews with these farmers. So it's a lot of time in their head. And we've gotten a lot of positive feedback. A lot of people saying, ooh, I want to try that. That just, you know, gets me really excited and inspired. So it's been a great addition to our communications.
Any plans for the future?
We do. Next up, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to do a rotationally raised podcast series. So that will really focus on how people are adding different rotations to their farms and how that is helping them, their bottom line as well as their soil health and water quality.
All right. Well, that's exciting stuff to listen for. Sally, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thanks a lot, Charity. Have a great week.
Sally Worley is Executive Director of Practical Farmers of Iowa. We've been talking about On Farm, Conversations with Practical Farmers, one of the podcasts we're highlighting this hour. We'd love to hear from you as well with your favorite podcasts that are produced in Iowa. You can give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Next, back to the world of medicine, the Short Coat podcast takes us inside the world of medical training. And producer David Etler is here. Hello, David.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Tell me your origin story. Where did this come from?
So in 2010, I was a clerk at the College of Medicine in the Office of Student Affairs and Curriculum. And I was also becoming an avid podcast listener. I was a little bit comfortable in my job. And I think at the time I was seeking a challenge. Luckily, I had a boss who was Jason Lewis, the head of the Writing and Humanities program, who was into audio production, music, and also just media. And I said to him, let's do a podcast. Originally, the idea was to interview people coming to the College of Medicine to give talks and things like that, which was great. You know, we interviewed, Pulitzer Prize-winning historian. We interviewed Madeline Robinson. We interviewed a bunch of other really interesting people. But at the time, it was, done on the basis of, when I had time. That works, but not great in terms of, producing content consistently.
Right. So you're taking something brand new and putting it on top of your full-time job.
Right. And it was sort of like a, an experiment, I guess, for me. In 2013, a student entered the College of Medicine who, a woman by the name of Lisa Weir. I want to give her a shout out because she just graduated this week and got her MD. So proof that it works.
You're giving credit to the podcast.
Yeah. Right. I mean, she worked with it. She had been listening for a while before coming to the College of Medicine. And she at some point said to me, we could do this every week. And I'm like, yeah, let's do it every week. And so, we had to change the format. We had to change how we were doing things. So we added in things like, talking with medical students about what it is they are becoming, essentially. And that became, really the catalyst to what the show is today. So now we basically have a three-act show. We in the beginning, generally speaking, and we're flexible, but generally speaking, we talk about issues in medical education, what students are going through. We talk about current events, and then maybe at the end we do something ridiculous like play a game or basically what I think of as, podcast stunts in order to liven things up and have a good time. Because one of the things that I know about medical education is that it's difficult. It's sometimes traumatic. And it can be, a drain for the students involved, even as it's exciting and fascinating and wonderful.
Right. And in many ways, a dream come true for a lot of those
Absolutely.
Students. So I'm hearing some echoes of what I was talking about with Adrian about being a nurse. I mean, this is a unique community where the people involved in medical training are going through a lot of things that the rest of us can't really relate to.
Yeah.
Is community a big part of this?
It is, but it has become that way. Certainly the best thing about podcasting your first episode is nobody's listening. So, you can
maybe the best and worst thing about podcasting your first episode.
You can make mistakes and no one will notice. Eventually we started building an audience, especially after we went to a weekly format, and we had some consistency. And at that time we started to hear from people who were listeners. So one of my favorite things about, producing the Shortcode podcast is, my office is right next to the place where interviewees who are applying to medical school have their interviews. And so every so often somebody will sort of knock shyly on my door and say, I'm a listener. It's great. Thank you for doing this.
Nice.
And, I'm not sure all podcasters, get to experience that. But I do. And I love it because it means that I'm doing something worthwhile. External validation is great. I like that.
I think all of us like that quite a bit. So what do you know about your listeners? Because it's obviously not just Iowa that's listening.
Yeah, I know that they are primarily pre-medicine students, so people in undergrad programs across the country. We had a lot of listeners from California, which isn't surprising because California's pre-med students have a somewhat difficult time getting into medical school because of how medical education is done out there. We have a lot of Iowans, for sure, and, scattered throughout the rest of the world, even one or two in some weird places. And we also have, medical students. We also have people who have finished medicine. It's a nice mix.
So you mentioned that it comes in three acts, and often that first act is actually driven by your listeners, isn't it?
It is. I get one of the things I love is getting questions from listeners. I always say it's because, then I don't have to do as much work in planning out a show. I can just ask the questions and then let my four co-hosts for the day, dish on that topic and give their, sort of advice about whatever it is the the listener wants to know about. But really what it means is that, you know, we can help somebody who has a question. I mean, that's tremendous. And every once in a while I hear back. I haven't yet heard back that our advice is terrible, which is nice. But I have on occasion heard back that, you know, we gave good advice, and, you know, that's fantastic. So
how do you choose your co-hosts? Four co-hosts, that's a lot.
It is. I always knew that I had to do a show with other people because I'm not sure that I'm interesting enough. Well, first of all, to the subject matter, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a medical student. One of the things I get to do is play the naive observer and sort of ask questions that maybe other people, you know, might have. As far as choosing co-hosts, I have a group of people who are interested in. I send out, you know, an email every Tuesday, and whoever says, yeah, I want to join in, they're on the show that week. I don't have auditions. I don't worry about whether people, you know, quote unquote, have what it takes. I just want different voices. And my co-hosts always blow me away with what they know and their commitment and their sense of fun in being on the show. So it's really great.
Now, the episode that I listened to was about unwanted sexual attention given by patients.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about that subject, because here, I mean, that's kind of a big, scary subject to dive into. Again, something that people who are not involved in delivering patient care may not have thought of or considered as being an issue.
Yeah.
When you get a question about something like that, I mean, do you dive in and do some research?
That question, no, I didn't do much research. I just knew that this is a thing from hearing about this from, you know, in the past from my co-host and other students. And I knew that at some point there would be a group of students who would want to talk about it. They're really good at being extemporaneous about their views. And you know, I expected, sitting there in that room were people who had some direct experience with that. I did happen upon an article that was relevant and that we could throw into the mix on, you know, how one restaurant on the West Coast dealt with this phenomenon from their customers. Not directly applicable, but had what I felt were some good ideas. So I feel like there's always something to talk about. And my co-hosts blow me away with their knowledge and their understanding. And so I, you know, they always manage to come through for the show.
Now, again, I asked Adrian this question and I want to ask you, because again, this is a lot of work that you're going to bring this podcast out. What makes it feel worthwhile to you? What makes it worth it?
So my co-hosts make it worth it. Absolutely. They're wonderful to work with. They're so much fun to get together every week. One of the things I think the show does is allow for my co-hosts is have a protected space during the week to reflect on what it is they're becoming. So I really enjoy the discussions surrounding that that topic overall. The other thing that makes it worth it is hearing from listeners, as I've said. It's really quite nice to, you know, have that discussion at the end of a long week. We record on Fridays, usually after an exam. So everybody's feeling loose and happy.
Nice.
The conversations are what make it, you know, a lot of fun, irrespective of things like numbers and things like that. That's what makes it worth it to me.
Well, David, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
David Ettler is the producer of the Short Coat podcast, which takes us inside the world of medical training. And we're making an unscheduled stop. Rick is on the line in Fairfield. Rick, you have a podcast. Tell me about it.
I do. It's called Buddha at the Gas Pump, which is a strange name, which I could explain. I've been doing it for about 8 years, and I have over 450 episodes so far. I do a new one each week. I have about 8 million views so far, about 35,000 subscribers. And it has become my full-time gig.
Wow. So is it a paying gig? Have you been able to make a living at this?
Well, we set it up as a nonprofit, and I make it freely available, which was my original intention when I founded it, and a small fraction of people donate. You know how that is with
yep.
NPR.
I'm aware of the model.
We're not getting rich off it, but it's adequate to enable us to continue doing it. I'm 68 years old, semi-retired, but my wife and I spend a great portion of our time on this, and I love it.
Well, what is it about? What's the premise?
Well, the premise, you know, I live in Fairfield, and a lot of people down here meditate, and I've been meditating for 50 years. And at a certain point, I just kept running into friends who said they were having these profound spiritual awakenings, and they would tell other friends, and the other friends would say, hey, you're crazy. You're just Joe Schmo, regular old guy. You don't seem special. How could you be having a profound spiritual awakening? And we could go into defining spiritual awakenings, but I'll leave it at that. And so I thought, I'm going to set up a thing where I could sort of showcase people who are having these experiences so their peers could see that ordinary people like them were undergoing these significant shifts. And so I started just doing it with local people. And then after a while, I figured out how to, you know, record things over Skype, and I began branching out. And since then, I've been interviewing people all over the world, some of them very well known, like, you know, Deepak Chopra and Robert Thurman and Dan Harris of ABC News and people like that. But for the most part, the subtitle of the show is Interviews with Ordinary Spiritually Awakening People. And
wow.
That's the implication of the title, is that you could be pumping gas and standing next to a Buddha of sorts without even knowing it. People who are have this profound inner experience, who are living ordinary lives.
And with 450 episodes, 450 profound spiritual awakenings. Rick, thank you so much for calling.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Rick from Fairfield, his podcast is Buddha at the Gas Pump. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about podcasts that are produced in Iowa. And if you have a favorite or if you produce one, give us a call. Tell us about it, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And next up, we're going to talk about Que Pasa Iowa. It's a Spanish language podcast that covers many different topics. And Fabiola Schermeister is with me right now. She's producer of the program. Hello, Fabiola.
Hi, Lindsay. Thank you so much for having us. Actually, I'm as well with Claudia Train, co-producer and co-host of this show. Thank you so much for inviting us.
Well, welcome to both of you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Lindsay.
And now tell me a little bit about the origin story of Que Pasa, Iowa. How did this idea come about?
Well, Fabiola and I, we've been doing this show on the radio. It's a Spanish radio here in Des Moines, Iowa, for about 2 years. And the purpose of this show was to educate and inform the Latino community about the different systems, about the different, educate them in regards to civic education, about the system in the government, and just bring people that usually our community don't know about it, or even programs that they don't know about it, and bring them and let them get to know different things.
So in looking around for this kind of information, were you finding it anywhere else? I mean, is Que Pasa, Iowa pretty much the only game in town as far as a Spanish language podcast in the state?
Well, right now, as of now, there's others. We just started way before that with the radio, and we were doing also social media at the same time. And now we just took everything directly to the social media.
All right. And what kinds of things do you like to cover on the show?
Look, Lindsay, Chloe and I, we're very committed to educate, to inform. So from civic engagement, right now, you know, we're in elections in an election process. So we want to really to show and to inform about those participants or candidates and go deeply in every topic, not just to talk a little bit of, you know, the issues, especially that affect the Latino community in Iowa, but just go more in deeply and listen as well to what our community think, what do they need, and try to fill that gap. And as well, you know, the Latino community is not well represented in the media, so we really want to, you know, start this podcast to show those faces, to really engage our community and participate and be active and proactive. That's the most important thing that we wanted to pass on the next generations.
And listening to your podcast, I am not a fluent Spanish speaker, so and listening to the podcast doesn't give me a whole lot of information, but I can hear your radio background in the podcast. It's very well produced. It's very fluid and smooth. So it's exciting to bring your radio experience into your podcast.
Well, we appreciate it. I think the combination between Fabi and myself is funny, because Fabi also, she brings the communications part, and actually she went to school for that, and she was working on TV too in the past. And in my case, I've been living in this community for 18 years, and as an activist and an advocate for the Latino community, I've been around and meeting a lot of people. So that's what we bring, the experience that I bring and knowing so many people. So that's what allowed us to bring people that usually Latinos don't can get a hold of, mm-hmm. or they don't know about them.
Right, you've
and
been interviewing
Fabiola
candidates.
Produces this.
Right.
Yes.
And so when you interview, let's say, the gubernatorial candidates, obviously most of them are not fluent Spanish speakers. So you have to do a lot of translation, right?
Yes, that's the beauty of being bilingual. Yeah. But I gotta tell you, it's hard, because while you are translating, you're also thinking about all the questions. I mean, it's tricky.
But it's really nice. We really, yeah. Lindsay, we are very happy that we can do a show bilingual, because as well, it is important for the Anglo to know what's going on, to understand our needs. And we try to break those barriers between the language barrier and see if we can do this podcast bilingual, why not?
So, and what's an issue right now that you have covered on KPASA Iowa that you don't feel is being talked about in the mainstream media in the state?
Well, basically, and maybe in the mainstream media, they've been talking about the SF-481, but it's been like general and very superficial. And
what is for people?
I'm so sorry. Yeah, the SF-481. Was a bill that now is going to be a law, because the governor signed it. And basically this bill, what it says is that state law enforcement, they have to cooperate with immigration, basically. And our community is being affected by that. And actually, we had rallies, we went to the Capitol. So we cover all that, and we tried to talk to legislators about it, and how much it was going to affect our community. But, well, definitely they didn't pay attention to us that much, because now it's going to be it is a law now. So we brought that issue to KPASA Iowa, and we cover everything about it.
Now, all right, that we're talking about, we've talked about a couple of different political topics that you cover on KPASA Iowa. How about the lighter stuff? What else do you do?
Yes, we try as well to cover the lighter, stuff, community events, where you can find resources, how you can benefit your community, how, to learn more about other nonprofits. I think that's very important, to give a platform to other nonprofit or small business or people that are just starting to making a difference, just like Tech of Iowa. I think we were very similar. We really wanted to recognize those that make the difference and really are putting an effort in a different, areas that at the end will benefit our state.
Well, we're nearly out of time, but do you know how many people you're reaching?
Yes, it is really nice. You know, we've been doing this from since March. So around
16 shows.
Yeah, around 2 months. And our reach is about 10,000 or more.
Exciting.
So it's amazing. You know, we wanted to thank all our listeners, all our, listeners from social media that are supporting us and as well are helping us to grow.
And social media is the best way to really get involved with K-PASA Iowa. You're webcasting your programs, right?
Yes.
Yes.
All
right. We're doing that. And we appreciate this invitation and this interview. And that's one of the purposes also for K-PASA Iowa is also to be that bridge between the mainstream community and the Latino community.
Well, ladies, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Lindsay, and thank you so much.
Ciao.
Fabiola Schurmeister and Claudia Thrain, they are producers of K-PASA Iowa, which is a Spanish language podcast or webcast that covers many different topics around the state. We're going to get to a call and then talk about our final podcast of the day. Next up, we've got Greg on the line in Fort Dodge. Hi, Greg.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. What would you like to talk about?
Well, you were talking about Iowa-produced podcasts, and I just started one. It would have been about almost 4 months ago now, and it's a little bit different. It was kind of, I guess, inspired a little bit by NPR as well, but it's a neuroscience-themed podcast that talks about issues related to the brain and about aging and kind of the science behind it all. I try to break down research articles and different things and also tell people kind of how to think critically about some of these kind of sensational headlines that you might hear, but also just about why science is cool, why it's interesting, and why, even though you may think, oh, it's brain surgery or whatever, it's not, you know, exclusive to that.
So it's called The Mind Boggles. And What's your background that you bring to this?
So, well, I heard you were talking to the Short Coat a little bit ago. I was actually on that podcast back when I was in med school at the University of Iowa. But prior to that, I got my degree in neuroscience from Drake University. And kind of, you know, bringing in that background and also working with Alzheimer's for the last 3 years, it's something that I thought would not only be good to get the topic out, but also in a way to reach rural Iowans, because that's kind of the demographic that this is, especially the Alzheimer's and the aging part, is pertinent to. But this is a good way to reach that through regular radio and online as well.
Well, terrific. Greg, thank you so much for sharing that with us today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Greg of the Mind Boggles, a podcast about the brain and neuroscience out of Fort Dodge, Iowa. And our final podcaster of the day is Misty Rebick. She is co-host of Political Party Live. Political Party Live gives a little extra life to political events held around the state in an effort to get millennials involved in politics. This does have a strong liberal bias, and the events have been attracting hundreds of people. More can listen in on their own. Hello, Misty.
Hello, thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for being here today. So tell me about your origin story.
Sure. So right before the 2016 election, several of us got together and wanted to have some GOTV events. So we held one here in Iowa City and we held one in Des Moines. And they were really about how do we get millennials out and engage in this election. And so we believe that part of the future of politics is also involving arts and culture and how arts and culture inform politics. So we held a huge block party here in Iowa City. We had over 300 people come. And we really just tried to get people excited about the election. And it was successful. So after that, we wanted to sort of keep this momentum up. And we felt like one of the big mistakes we do make in the political world is sort of waiting every 4 years to engage voters, and especially young voters. And we decided to hold regular events that would bring folks together across, especially Eastern Iowa and in the Des Moines area, to discuss different politics. And honestly, the other part of it was sort of, we believe politics sort of has like a bad, it's like a bad word. People don't want to talk about politics. And so a lot of what we do is about redefining what is political and helping people to understand the scope of what can be political and how you can build power, essentially.
So tell me about your events. What happens at the events?
Sure. So at a lot of our events, it would start with a DJ or some live art maybe. And then we usually call a social social hour, so get a drink if you do drink. You know, soda and water and coffee are great too. And then we would start the show about a half an hour in, where myself and my two co-hosts, Simeon Talley and Stacey Walker, would kick the show off with a damage report. And a damage report is kind of like what has been in the news lately that is what we believe very damaging to society, and kind of our millennial perspective on what's happening. And then in general, we would have a guest or two, really trying to give a platform to people who don't normally have one. People of color, women, young folks who are doing really important things in our community. And then we end with a dance party. Yeah.
And why turn it into a podcast as well? Where did that idea come from?
Sure. Well, it actually started as a podcast idea, and because a few of us have a lot of experience in putting together events, we thought it would be unique to provide people the opportunity to not only hear the conversations that are happening, but feel them and be there live in person. So it kind of helps us. Obviously, the podcast helps us reach more people who wouldn't be able to come to our events. But at the same time, if you're able to come to one of our events, you really get a feeling of community and the kind of, building that we're trying to do.
So with the podcast, do you have an idea of what your reach is? How have people been responding?
Sure. Well, our events, honestly, are wildly successful.
Right. I mean, 300 people, that's a really big event.
That's a really big event. Not all of them are that large. You know, most of them on a monthly basis, we usually do one per month, is, you know, 60 to 80, sometimes 100 people. But we usually pull them together within a couple of weeks. So, and of course, it depends on the venue. We also try to highlight local businesses. So that's kind of the regular base of folks. But then also we're getting, on average, a few more about more than 200 downloads per month.
Can you tell me about maybe an episode you're most proud of?
That's a hard one, because we've highlighted so many amazing leaders in Iowa, and honestly, a lot of national guests as well. One that I I'll highlight two. One is with Bree Carlson, who is the deputy director of People's Action, which is the national grassroots organizing group. So she joined us to really break down race and culture and how that informs our political world. And so people should definitely check that out. That was last July. And also our most recent one, where we sat down and had a really in-depth conversation with candidate Deidre Dejere, who is a young Black woman running to be the next Secretary of State. And though she is a candidate, I think you'll see that our conversations really strive to have deeper conversations about what motivates people to get involved and how to inspire folks who are listening or in the event about how to use their own voice to affect politics around them.
How do you think your approach to this kind of conversation is different from our traditional efforts to get young people involved in voting?
Sure. Well, it's led by three millennials, and not only are all of our co-hosts millennials, but also our producers are. So we're coming at this from an angle of social media, of art, of music, of, you know, the way people are talking about things. And I think that the other thing is, we're not just bringing on elected officials. We're not just bringing on people who are already elected. We're trying to show people that you can start your political process in your local community about whatever it is that you care about, whether it's body positivity, immigration issues, and all different things. And the other thing is, we connect people with organizations that are doing the work. As an example, we had the Eastern Iowa Bond Project on our podcast early last spring, which is so relevant right now after what just happened in Mount Pleasant last week with the raid. And so we also connect people with the organizations doing the work, and sort of redefining politics is not just about being elected. It's about what you're doing every single day to make change happen.
Now, speaking of elections, you are working on Kathy Glossen's campaign for governor. So how does that, I mean, can you still podcast while you're working on a campaign?
Well, we've slowed down a little bit because also Stacey Walker is in his primary for Board of Supervisors in Linn County. So actually, we have only had one event this spring. So once we get through this primary, we'll be picking our events back up. We never have claimed to be bipartisan. We're unabashedly progressive. So, yeah.
Misty Rebick, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thanks.
Misty Rebick, co-host of Political Party Live, one of the podcasts we featured on this hour of Talk of Iowa, which is also a podcast from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbie.